Canto 5, Pastimes. This is King Priyavrata. King Priyavrata entered household life after learning about self-realization from Narada Muni. When Rajpariksit heard this, he was highly astonished that a person who was already self-realized and a first-class devotee of the Lord, he would want to accept household life, which everyone knows is the root cause of material bondage. And thus, household life actually defeats the purpose of human life. Maharaj Pariksit was well aware that liberated souls who are fully under the shelter of Sri Krishna can never become absorbed in household affairs or attached to family members. So therefore, he felt perplexed and he inquired from his guru, Shukla Muni, "I have some doubt. How is it possible for a person like King Priyavrata, who is attached to wife, children, and home, how could he achieve the topmost perfection of Krishna consciousness?" "You are correct," said Shukadev. One who becomes attached to the honey nectar of Krishna's lotus feet and was always absorbed in hearing Harikatha, he can never come down from this exalted position, although sometimes he may become checked by some type of material impediment. It's a fact, one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness cannot again become a materialist. And conversely, if someone is a materialist, he cannot take up Krishna consciousness. Shukadeva Goswami explained to his student, Maharaj Pariksit, "Sometimes even a devotee becomes influenced by his prarabdha karma." This is some story about King Agnidriya. King Agnidriya, he ruled Jambudvip. He ruled the inhabitants like they were his own family. Once he worshipped Brahma to get a son that would offer pin to him afterwards so that he could be promoted to Pitri Loka. Of course, this Agnidriya was the son of King Priyavrata. But somehow, this King Agnidriya, he begot a very wonderful son. For him to get a good son, he needed a highly qualified wife. So he went to some place where all kinds of damsels, heavenly damsels, come down to move around. He started worshipping Brahma. And Brahma selected the best apsaras from his assembly and sent her to the king. I guess Brahma has a whole fleet of beautiful girls. So it kind of deputed one to do the needful. Very interesting arrangement. So he was sitting in meditation. Very beautiful garden. Exotic birds, peacocks, swans singing, clear water ponds and lotus flowers. And along came this heavenly apsara named Purva Chitti. And she was had ankle bells and tinkling pleasingly. And the handsome prince was performing yoga, meditating, controlling his senses until this particular moment when he opened his eyes and there was no more sense control after that. A little bit of problem. She was so beautiful, Purva Chitti, that she, by her glances and her shyness, humility, and playful movements, she could bewilder anyone, and her wonderfully sweet voice. It seemed when she spoke, nectar was flowing from her mouth, and when she breathed, it was such sweet breath, which is quite unusual, that bees were hovering around her beautiful face. And disturbed by the buzzing of the bees, she would walk quickly, and her hair and hips and water-like pot breasts moved in a way that seemed to make a pathway for the entrance of Cupid into the minds of men. Interesting way of saying. And she moved, and all her charms were rather advertised. Then men became agitated, including Prince Agnidri. And when he saw her, then he made inquiry, like is usually done in the society. If a man sees a girl that whets his appetite, then the next thing is, oh, hello, where are you from, this, that, and the usual aggressive meeting and pursuing one's attraction. This is how he addresses the apsara. Very interesting. Oh, saintly, best of saintly persons. This girl is like a knockout, a Miss Universe in front of him, and he's saying, oh, best of saintly persons. Why have you come here? Are you one of the potencies of God? Due to lust, Agnidri lost all his brains. He couldn't actually understand whether Purvachiti was a male or female. So that's why he called her Munivarya. He's really gone. He became so lusty upon seeing her, he couldn't even understand what gender she was. That's really out of his mind. She was too beautiful, so he couldn't believe that she was a boy. So then he studied her bodily features more carefully. That's definitely a no-no. And there's a whole long list of these various things here. And that's a lot about women. They conquer men with the bows of their, with their eyebrows, which are bows without strings, just glancing. And seeing the beautiful glancing of Purvachiti, then Agnidri said, my dear friend, oh Sakha, you have two very powerful arrows whose feathers are like the petals of a lotus flower. He's speaking very poetically about the arrows of her glances. My dear Lord, this is what he's saying to this lady, my dear Lord, the bumblebees are like your disciples. I've become so captivated by you. It's all a whole lot of description of how he's captivated by her. And still, after looking at all her bodily features and becoming attracted, he still can't understand whether she's a boy or a girl. And the reason that is because he had so much developed his consciousness of Brahman that he couldn't distinguish between genders. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hashani Shunichai Vasapaki Pandita Samadarshana. There's a verse in the 5th chapter of Gita, number 18, that one is very learned. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hashani Shunichai Vasapaki Pandita Samadarshana. When one becomes a pundit and extremely deeply saturated with Vedic wisdom, true Vedic wisdom, and realization of that wisdom, vigyan, tattva vigyan, then he has samadristi. He sees a brahmani, a gavi, hashani, shuni. He sees a cow, a brahmana, a elephant, or a dog, or a dog eater, shwa and shwapacha. He sees them all as equally. They're all simply representations of Brahman. So this yogi, Prince Agnidri, he was in this mood. Had a whole lot of funny things, you know. He's saying, you have this really strange discussion. Very interesting way to pretend, play dumb. It seems like he's playing dumb, but actually he is dumb by his Brahman vision. This lady must be thinking, this is the most interesting approach I've ever heard in my life. This guy has really got an interesting line. I mean, what a way to get to the point. Beat around the bush in the most clever, ridiculous way. Anyway, she's just going along. He's just going on and on about her body and her earrings and her eyes and this and that. She's just, I guess, eating it all up with all this glorification. He's calling her, oh, best of tapasvis, oh, best friend. What austerities did you achieve to perform to get this wonderful beauty? And apparently he gets quite close to her and says, I'm so surrendered, please take me wherever you like. The intelligent prince, he knew the art of flattering women to win them over to his side. Well, that he definitely was able to please the upstart with his lusty words. Actually, although he was a devotee, he had no attraction for material enjoyment. But since he wanted a wife or getting a good son, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. This is called Vidugdha. Purvachitti became attracted by his youth, beauty, etc. behavior. When we stayed together for thousands of years, enjoying, we got 9 sons. Nabi, Kempurusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, Kuru, Bhadrasma, Ketamala. And it's this interesting point, it says in the Bhagavatam. Due to drinking the breast milk of their mother, these boys became very strong. That's a fact. That's why they have milk to give to their babies. Usually it's 3 to 5 years they can stay, but now it's after a few months, everybody around them, hey, what is this? Give the kid food. So if they don't feed the baby, then the breast can dry up anyway, early. So then he was really attached to his wife. It tells about this, one of his sons, King Nabi, the Lord appeared to him. So I'll continue with that next time.